Welcome to the Voice of the Agent podcast. And today I am delighted to be joined by Alex Wood of Alexandra Wood Bespoke, who very kindly presented at our recent The Voice of the Agent conference. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Simon. I nearly forgot your name.
I am easily forgettable. It's very true. So I'm curious, who is Alex Wood of Alexandra Wood Bespoke? Tell me a little about what you do, because you are not an estate agent and you're now talking to a lot of estate agents. So who are you? What do you do?
I'm not an estate agent, but I do like houses. Well, you could call me many things, but essentially I'm the tailored menswear visionary of Savile Row. So named as the first female Savile Row tailor. I like to describe myself more as a visionary because I do the whole 360. So I look at how a man presents himself, his skin tone, what he really wants, and not what he says he wants, what he really wants. And I intuitively tune into that, long and short of it, just in case there's more questions.
Yeah, and a good friend of mine actually visited you from the United States. He met you a while ago. And he said it was the best experience he'd ever had in that kind of environment, because it felt very normal. What he did say, exactly what you've just said there, is he found more the authentic himself rather than what he thought he should wear. You kind of, you know, because you all come with these impressions. So you've kind of set me up for my next question then. You are often introduced as a Savile Row tailor and the first female Savile Row tailor. But running a business on Savile Row is a much more commercial judgment as it is a craft. So how much are you a business person versus a menswear visionary?
I'd say in equal measure, pardon the pun. I started off as super creative. You know, I think probably like most entrepreneurs, more in their head than in reality. And then the reality comes out from your vision in your head. But I loved the transformation that I made, like really getting to know someone. And with men that had all their anxieties, etc. And then men started saying to me, oh, you're really great at guiding. You don't just hand me a book of fabrics. And even like, you know, looking after the top CEOs of massive businesses who know exactly what they're doing in their roles. But when it comes to looking good, they're very anxious. And I can see that and help them feel okay about it, because it's never nice to not know about a topic or you're at the top of your game. So very much brought a business element to it. I don't think they always go hand in hand, being an entrepreneur and being good at business, but I love both.
And, you know, 2/3 of businesses fail. So, you know, it is, you know, it's not an easy route to take. And, you know, especially if what you're doing is actually really quite niche what you do. So, you know, on that, I mean, you built Alexandra Wood Bespoke in a space that's really defined by tradition, hierarchy, slow change, small c conservatism, and if I can, men. How did you decide where to challenge convention and where to respect it, particularly in those early years when you set out?
I think it's just natural. I didn't go, right, I'm going, I need to be respectful of this, and then I can use my humor here because I'm hilarious. It was a natural progression. If I overthought it, I think it wouldn't give it the warm, authentic edge it has. I've literally always been guided by my intuition. I've never really had a crazy strategy, business plan. I've just always gone by what the clients have said to me. And they kept on saying, oh, that was painless. And I was like, oh, they think it's like, you know, trip to the dentist. These guys hate shopping. Nothing fits, don't know what looks good on them, and it's all a bit embarrassing. Whereas, you know, when they come in, then they're sort of, you know, super chilled about it.
Yeah, and I think, well, I'm interested because I feel like I've missed a piece in terms of, because I do know this because we've spoken before, we've worked together on a couple of things, but how on earth did you get into this?
Yeah, I am, I think I went off piece there. Same old story.
No,
I was like, oh, the original question. But when I was 14, I probably very typical, I feel like Richard Branson, but clearly not quite there yet. But he, you know, wasn't that great at school. I would like tie my fringe up into a pineapple and kind of go and just distract everyone as much as possible so I didn't have to do
We will
anything.
attach photos to the
I
podcast release, of course.
don't know if I found one. I think I probably cut my fringe off at some point, and they're like, "Can you stop messing around?" But also, I was like very sort of quiet as well, which is a bit strange. But I just daydream and think, oh, I just want to get out of here. I want to run my own business. Like, this is like boring. I just want to get on with stuff. What's the point in constantly educating yourself? So I loved fashion. I'd listen, no, not listen, read loads of books on the royal family my parents had rolling around. And they were like, I don't know where these came from, but I just would night after night go through, looking at King Charles and looking at all the tailoring and thinking, oh, that's such a fantasy world. Just being somewhere else other than school, other than other dramas, and just completely inside that. And then I worked in retail, luxury retail, and I really loved it. I always made everything like my own little fantasy world. I was a temp, and so they were like, all right, here's your target, off you go. And again, I was always a bit unruly. I don't like doing what I'm told most of the time. And they're like, iron your shirt, and I'd just iron the front of it and leave the back. And I just put my jacket on and think, please God, don't let them do a uniform thorough check. And then I would just have laughs with celebrities, but it was frowned upon. They were basically like, do not have a sense of humor. You are there to serve, keep your mouth shut. You cannot relate to these people. You are a nobody.
Oh, okay.
It all kind of evolved from there. So I loved luxury, didn't like the snootery. Then I worked as a temp for Shanghai Tang, and they had a tailoring department downstairs. And I was just like, this is so cool. And again, I was just like, right, this is my own little business, completely delusional. And I was like, I could sell the fabrics, they're not making use of that. Their profit margins are a bit shit. So I can, make those better. I can redesign the collection, make it cooler. Take it to press, make this a bit more exciting, make, tailoring sexy, and, top, music moguls, Shirley Bassey, she wouldn't come in herself, but assistants would ask me to design pieces. And just that one-to-one relationship, I thought, this is my calling, not to work for a big fashion brand, but that real intimacy, getting to know someone. The empathy level, because these people are vulnerable. Everyone's vulnerable, whatever they do, whatever they say, however they present themselves.
I love that. And I mean, the clients that you're dealing with, they're kind of high net worth, successful, powerful in their own field, will be very good at what they do. You're not from a world of the ultra high net worth. That's not where you started. You came into this world and you found that you liked it. So how have you structured your business model to serve these really high performing individuals with, and you use the word which I love, is without diluting the intimacy that bespoke tailoring depends on? How do you make that work where these are busy, time poor people, but you need quite a bit of time with someone to really understand who they are? How do you balance that? Because time's money.
I'm speedy in my approach. So I seem calm, considered, but I think fast. Literally, pictures come up in my head. I'll be talking to a client, and because I've looked after thousands of clients who really have very similar anxieties, but of course, they're all different individual people, and I have to know exactly what they want to wear and how they'd look good, because it's a big investment, and they're saying no more to endless shopping trips, which can take a huge amount of time. These guys are time poor. They, do they want to go trawling around hot shops and carrying loads of stuff and things don't fit? And I was like, oh, I think that works. No. So overall, what I do is very fast in comparison, because all they have to do is spend an hour with me, which is a pure delight. And I profile everything, take all of their measurements. I get what they want, what colours work for them. I know how they want to look and feel. It's like I've sort of just gone into their mind, not in a creepy way, and just sort of created the vision of what they want and tuned to them. And most, well, I say most all the bloody time, they're, really quite chuffed. They didn't see it coming, and they just look different. And so hours and hours of shopping and all the dross for maybe 2, 3 hours a year, because I can design, send the pieces once we've got all the measurements done. It's easy. Design it, send it to them. So it's basically the ideal solution.
Can anyone look good in clothes?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone, they say, oh, I need to lose weight. I need to do this. I need to become someone else. There's never the perfect time. Now is always the perfect time, because you're just going to waste more money. People kid themselves a lot for various reasons. But literally everyone can look good. A lot of people will say, it's fine if you look like a model. No, you don't need to look like a model. I've got beautiful clients, and some might say, oh, I'm not that attractive, but confidence is attractive.
Yeah,
All
I can
subjective.
completely buy that. I know when I've worn something that feels and look, I know looks good. It just makes you feel amazing when you've got something that actually literally, whatever size, height, whatever shape you are, the
Yeah.
right clothes can just make you feel good. And I think we sort of in today, I mean, I'm a classic example today. I'm wearing soggy clothes because I'm essentially at home and I'm now slightly embarrassed. I'm speaking to a Savile Row tailor. I'm dressed as badly as I am, but note to self, next time, put a shirt on.
I will have to do a transformation, be like the end.
I'll take you up on the offer. Many luxury businesses where you're playing struggle to articulate value without leaning on their heritage or price. You don't kind of, I mean, now you've been around for a while now, you don't have that heritage. So how do you communicate in what is this quite established traditional market in a way that feels confident rather than sort of edgy or even perhaps defensive?
Yeah, as I say, I love luxury. I like clean lines, and I am a real perfectionist, but also that humor and lightness, and really connecting with those anxieties of those clients without going, you're anxious, aren't you? But just the warmth of it, bringing the luxury. And that's what I mean when I worked in luxury environments, where you weren't allowed to relate to people, blended with super high quality, lovely clothes, where you have the craft, and that's all obvious in the design and the make and the fabrics. The combination is what has been the winning formula for me, because heritage can sometimes be a sort of badge of honor, having pieces, like an Hermes bag. It's like, oh, but people also, this is experience. You might say collecting your Hermes bag, but it's more like that's a sort of a prized possession I know will increase in value, and that's great, and it's beautiful. Whereas mine is like a more, almost more functional, feeling good about yourself, investing in yourself and the experience, because they want to feel good about the experience, not feel like, oh, well, this is even worse than shopping. So they're willing to, invest for those reasons, I guess.
If I never had to go shopping, I'd be a happy man. I hate shopping with a passion. I
I'm the
literally,
same. I think God awful.
I mean, I was about to buy some trousers for a funeral. Sadly, I went to a few weeks ago. I knew exactly what I wanted, and I walked in. I was looking at a few items. Said, "Why don't they sell the clothes that I like?" And my wife was like, "Simon, they kind of you've been wearing the same clothes for about 15 years, and fashion's slightly moved on. So what you want probably isn't still that." Which was quite cutting. And also incredibly accurate. But I do. I if I can go in, buy one thing and leave, I'm happy. If I have any browsing involved at all, I'm looking forward to reaching a point where I actually can come and see a certain Alexandra Wood bespoke and have it done in an hour, and then I can forget about the whole process. Because I think that to me would be dream. Because it's my if I can do it all online, I'm happy. Clothes is harder online to get things to fit. But okay, so you've been described by some as the tailor of the 21st century, which implies both innovation and responsibility. As a business leader, how do you think about growth, innovation, tearing the rule book up without losing control of the quality, the culture? And as this is such a personal business, your personal involvement?
I've learned to be more relaxed over the years. When I first started, I was like, I've got to do the marketing. I've got to do this. I think a lot of business owners are, and you can't, it's that sort of thing where they say, believe it before you see it. So you've got to kind of just keep venturing forward in faith. So now I trust people that just are as passionate as me about the brand. And as I start to, I don't, I'm not stepping away, but I'm doing the sort of bigger visionary piece that ultimately will grow the business stronger. So hiring people that meet all the of the values and things like that without looking like, oh, where's Alex gone? She completely vanished. You know, it's the right touch points
And
to tell.
it is really hard in a business to find those people, especially if you're the founder and the visionary. You've got a very clear idea. Finding those people, I know, is very hard. Where do you find these people in this space? Is it networks, relationships, introductions? Do you go through traditional, slightly off piece for what we're talking about, but do you use recruitment agencies? How do you find the people for what is such a personal vision and brand? How are you finding the right people to bring on board?
Well, people might think I'm a bit mad, but what's new? What's new? But I put post up on LinkedIn and had a couple of great interviews, and then I that didn't quite work out for one reason or another, so I put on an Indeed, and I just said, I'm going to find the perfect salesperson for us. They're just going to come through, and then I chill, don't think about it. And I said this to my dad about theatre posters. I said, if I'm on the tube, I just go, I want to see that. I'm drawn to it for a reason, and there's no more conversation about it. It's like, and it's always good. So I had the same Indeed scrolling through, God knows how many, just something pulls me. I'm like, I think that's the one. And I hired someone today based on that. I mean, we did do interviews. I didn't just say, yeah, you're hired without talking to her. But I'm not like, we have to do agencies and we have to do this and we have to sift through. I just, maybe a little bit more like holistic around it. I just believe that the right things get drawn to us in the right way. When I think back to every way my business has grown, it's always through just being chill and knowing the right thing to do.
It's almost like you're setting up for my next question then, because that's perfect to talk about first impressions and that gut reaction. Is at the Voice of the Agent conference, you were speaking to a professional that still trades heavily on personal presence and first impressions, but fundamentally lacks trust. There's a thing called the Veracity Index that comes out every year that shows that estate agents are in the bottom five or six professions pretty much consistently. From a business person's perspective, why does appearance continue to play such a material role, especially in trust-based industries? Why does it still matter what we look like?
Yeah, the brain tend well, the brain does operate before we've even, you know, on our conscious, and we're like, oh no, we're not judgmental, but something behind, oh well, it's not behind us. Our subconscious goes, not sure I trust this guy. He's in a dodgy pinstripe suit, it's ill-fitting, blah, 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 you know, connect all the dots and kind of form based on stereotypes almost of past experiences, things they've seen on telly. And sometimes people do fall into that kind of stereotype. And it's just a bizarre thing. And it's not like, you know, a lot of people say on my LinkedIn post, people should dress how they want to dress, Alex. And it's like, yeah, cool. Like, be my guest. But if you're like the top of your profession and you really want your, the most important thing here is to actually feel great about yourself. If you're like, I feel special, my fabrics feel amazing, my wife thinks I look the balls, that exudes confidence, is going to make you better at your job. Because why, you know, if you, I defy anyone that says, I could just rock up in a tracksuit and smash my, you know, law firm, you know, it's like, not really. It is a big trust factor and it's not flashy, it's understated, it's sharpness, it's detail, showing you care. And then people think, I trust this guy, go overboard, tips the other way.
So I'm interested because there is a very famous brand, a very successful brand in our industry, where they all wear hoodies, and they all wear hoodies. It's pretty consistent. Some of them wear shorts and trainers, but their look is they all wear these very vibrant hoodies. Do you think they're? I mean, I'm a big fan of the brand. They're doing really well. It's very distinctive. Do you think they're making a mistake, or are they simply making a "this is who we are, and if you like us, you like"? Is that okay, or are they making a mistake?
I think if they're all on board of it, they're all wearing it and they all look comfortable in it. This is a massive thing I say. If you're like wearing something, you're just kind of showing up again, it comes back to the confidence. If you're like, I'm cool, I feel like the guy who looks right in this hoodie and I'm exuding the brand all in the right way. If you've gone, here, mate, wear this hoodie because we're funky, and they're just going, great. It looks weird. That's why I always say you have to dress someone or dress yourself in a way that feels authentic to you. That's the key thing. Someone can wear a car salesperson can wear the pinstripe suit, and I don't know,
Not that we're
CFO.
trading in cliches or
I've
anything, but
got a bit of a problem with this. It's a thin pinstripe. It's interesting, but polyester from cheap brand. But no, it's all about dressing like how you feel good and comfortable in yourself and high quality. You can't have cheap tut. And yeah, you have to make a point difference. You don't want every estate agent firm being like overly slick. Some people associate that with smarminess. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and I suppose a confidently worn hoodie is better than a badly fitting suit.
Yeah,
If
because
that's who you are.
suits done wrong is horrific. I'd rather see a hoodie, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I remember I going to a public speaking training, and they said, if you're going to wear a suit, which, if you're doing public speaking, it's quite good to wear a suit because you look, just look, whether you tie or not, you just look more professional in a suit. Make sure it fits.
Yes.
There's nothing worse than where you look like you're bulging out of your suit and it's kind of like just not quite right. You can get off the shelf suits that fit. The fact it fit you 10 years ago, we do change shape over 10 years. It's probably worth just, if you can't go all the way to bespoke, you can still get things. Even M&S will tailor your clothes for you if you ask them to. I don't know, it's cost and all that kind of stuff, but a good suit is worth it, isn't it?
Good suit and a good shirt. I find a lot of the time, like, actually, if all it took is just like a really lovely shirt or shirt collection, because you can wear a really nice suit and just have a crummy, cheap shirt that kind of lets it all down a bit.
So go on then. Estate agency remains one of the last consistently besuited professions. And there's a huge debate pretty much once a year in the trade press is should we wear ties or should we not wear ties? If an agency leader, estate agency leader, came to you and said, how could my team dress to look more credible, model, and human, but without being intimidated or outdated, what advice would you give to that estate agency owner?
I would say quality always. I think I said on the panel was that go to the highest quality you can afford that's right for you. Never, shortchange yourself, and make sure it is sharply tailored. And that means like neat shoulder lines, nothing should be falling off the edge. But you don't need a tie. I think tie is not that relevant these days. Open neck shirt, but as we were just talking about, Mickey Flanagan, not too many buttons undone. Don't want to see
Yeah,
the hair on your chest.
definitely not too many buttons undone. People, the guys listening out there, don't have too many buttons undone. It is not a good look.
It's basically, what was it, two buttons undone max. So it looks a little bit nonchalant. No tie, and always only do the top button of your suit up. Too many times I see men button up both. It's a no-no. This is one crime I will not allow.
Double-breasted or single-breasted?
Single, much more flattering.
Okay.
Yeah, double breasted look a bit old school, and you don't want to look stuffy unless you're stuffy brand.
Shoes without socks.
No. Unless you've got beautiful legs and tanned legs, but if you've got like white hairy ankles, I meant
And I mean, the tie. I mean, do you think? I mean, I was told a long time ago when I was first working in financial services, never trust someone wearing a tie because they're trying to sell you something. And I think because of that, I always felt instinctively against ties, albeit there's nothing quite like a perfect Windsor knot. On balance, you would lean it's okay not to wear a tie.
I just think weddings good for ties, super formal meetings. But in this day and age, you don't really, it's not as, things are just more laid back, still sharp, still quality, but lot, no pocket squares, no ties, just that kind of sharp, cool edge, as I go back to the word nonchalant. It's kind of wearing things and you have made an effort, but kind of looking like you haven't.
I'm going to use this as free consultancy. So what does a perfect ward, what would you say would a perfect wardrobe, if you were going to say, I have an empty wardrobe, what would you say would make a classic set of items to make up a good set of mixable pieces that you probably have most of your day-to-day outfit sorted?
So we, here's a plug. We design capsules and wardrobes for our clients who
What's a
have lots
capsule?
more
What's
homes.
a capsule for people who don't know what a capsule is?
So a capsule, I mean, some people class it slightly different. Some people might say it's one piece of each item that suits you. Let's say a t-shirt, knitwear, chinos. So you've got all of your essential pieces that you'd ever need. Who only has it? Ever has one piece of each in their wardrobe, though not really. So my version of capsule wardrobes is having a few different go-to outfits. Let's say a businessman who needs a couple of suits but probably only wears them once a week now to meetings, unless even when lawyers are in court, same one or tw once or twice a week, and then needs sort of smart casual pieces, so that's the sports jacket, shirts, to go to events, to go to like more laid back meetings, conferences, etc. So a capsule is basically like one or two suits, a few sports jackets, a few go-to shirts, a few trousers, chinos, jeans, all the matching shoes. So that if you were to, each day just go to your wardrobe, be like, that goes with that. The way I design it is so that that jacket number one goes with trouser number one, goes with trouser number two, etc. So everything pairs together. So out of, say, six pieces, you've actually got about 20 outfits. Little bit different to, because a client of mine says, do men think like this? And I'm like, oh yeah, the ones that care do. So that you've got mixing match, you're not going to wear the same shirt every day, and you just got multiple, and you just switch off. You have no decision fatigue. I do the same for my wardrobe. I'm just like, yep, yeah, cool, done. Don't think about
There's
it.
a lot to be said for quality because I think there's, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Terry Pratchett, Discworld, and something called the Samuel Vimes boots, which is people who have money spend less on their clothes because they buy things that last. Because if everything you buy is fast fashion, you wear it once and it's gone, you actually end up spending more on things that don't last. So buying a good set of a few pieces that go with everything is one of the best strategies. I mean, a good jacket can complement many things if you think of the overall. Now, it's fair to say that AWB, Alexander Wood Bespoke, is not cheap, but I also, a little bird tells me you've written a book.
I have,
So
yes.
tell me about the book. And is this a book that
Cheap.
anyone can get and gives them access to?
Yes. Yeah, so I basically written my style system, which is basically like a strategy if anyone, well, any man interested in making a start, it's simplified, like what do you actually need? Because sometimes what we don't know, we overcomplicate. So, oh, I don't know if I've got the time to think about this. You'd be able to flick through, read that book, and kind of have a good understanding of where to start and what to start thinking about. And it's a bit like with a business and kind of creating a strategy for your wardrobe, not just being chaotic. I kind of start the book by saying, you're creating your wardrobe, not like your business. I mean, you should be creating your wardrobe like your business and kind of strategizing, think about what do I want? How do I want to show up? What do I feel good in? What works for me? What doesn't? Am I wearing all the wrong colors for me? Am I wearing the things that are authentic to me or actually my style? And it's quite empowering, even if you just read that and went off shopping, you'd have a much clearer idea rather than just stare at stuff and being like, still clueless.
And things, I mean, color. I mean, I've actually had my colors done. You can probably not tell, but I have had my colors done. Is having your colors done actually? You can get the right and the wrong colors for you. Can't, or is that just like a horoscope? That's just not really real. There are colors that work with different complexions and faces. Is that real?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's actually, because it goes by seasons, spring, etc., as you know, and all the ones in between, a true summer, a blue summer. And sometime, because I've actually had it done twice, and it can be like horoscope where you're like, once 1 week you're a Gemini and the other you're a Cancer. Because I was a winter and then I was an autumn. So ultimately, I have to decide, unless I have an expert telling me otherwise. You have to like the clothes you're wearing. You have to enjoy it. I can only advise, but if you're like, I hate that color, then I'm not going to force you to wear it. Be silly. But there are definite colors that, really work for people. And even guys who are sort of like, oh, I'm not that bothered, and I'll go, come to the mirror. I'm going to put this over you. Like, look at what that suit does to you versus that. And you're like, yeah, I'll say it lights up skin tone. You look fresher, younger. That oozes confidence. They're like, well, I'm down with this. If you want to look like crap, carry on.
Is this that your classic consultancy style is, if you want to like crap, knock yourself out.
Yeah, no, I'm all for the pants, but like kindness, but all of my clients are lovely and have a little chuckle, but that's why they're there. I'm like, no, I don't want to look like shit.
And another little bird tells me, actually, you actually do interview some of your clients on a podcast, don't you? So if I want to get the book, where do I get it? Available on Amazon?
It will be the end of January. We've done a bit of a weird strategy, but it's on my website and you can
Okay.
pre-order the book
So
now.
for the benefit of the listeners, your website is
alexandrawoodbespoke.co.uk, and it's a
fantastic.
pre-order link, and I will sign it with one of my branded pens. I know you
You
like.
have me at hello with branded merchandise. That makes me very happy. It's almost like you came to 30 years of marketing or something. I don't know what that's all about. And then the podcast where you're, and this is generally you're interviewing your clients.
Interviewing clients and people that my clients would be interested in, like private doctors, private chefs, etc. So, but I am switching up the YouTube channel,
Good.
in when we move to our new location, another plug, which is going to be more, advice, a lot more fun. So stay tuned.
And again, if I want to listen to that podcast, available on all the major Apple, Spotify. And what is the podcast called?
Well, I've changed also from podcast to more to a YouTube because,
Okay.
funny enough, I liked sort of being seen on
Yeah,
YouTube.
yeah.
I like video.
The great thing, a friend of mine works in podcasts, and the number one channel for podcasts is YouTube.
YouTube,
If you're just doing audio, you're missing a trick. People actually like to see, funnily enough, people. It's why we do this video, and you can get it audio. But for those who are listening to this, obviously you either listen to Apple, Spotify, but we're also available on YouTube. So where would I find Alexandra Wood talking to interesting people on YouTube?
Yes. So again, Alexandra Wood Bespoke. She goes to check one's channel. But I'm pretty
Gave you
sure it's.
no advance notice that I'm going to ask you that you could plug yourself, but shameless plug. We can always truncate the gap while you're looking as though it never happened, and we won't do a Trump BBC edit.
Alexandra Wood Bespoke. There you
There we
go.
go. That's fantastic. So, go on. My final question before I let you go and carry on making men look better in the world is, what do you think more traditional people, their business like estate agency, could learn from the way modern luxury brands balance authority, warmth and individuality? What's the trend that they need to be looking out for?
Dressing to themselves. Anytime someone goes, this is how I dress because it's in fashion or this and that, it goes a bit wonky. You have to dress to your own authentic self. Finding that out can be tricky, but with my help, it is easy. because they're like,
Seamless promotion. I'm proud of you, Alexandra.
And I wrote down, I was like, oh yeah, I remembered actually the question you asked earlier that I sort of veered off, and you said about craft versus, maybe I did answer it, I don't know.
Well,
Okay.
I thought you did, but
Oh, fine. I was making.
so trends aside, dress for yourself.
Dress. If you're gregarious and funky, dress to that. Be real. Don't dress super corporate. It won't blend. I talk about style personalities in the book, which, and there are sort of three sort of definite style personalities that tend to come with various different ages. But that's really important. And because some people go, but I really like it, but it's like gauge other people's opinions. Usually a woman who would go, no, just no. What is this? So yeah, that's what I mean by dressing towards it. If you're clean and you're classic and you're more like James Bond vibe, stick with that. Don't start going all funky and vice versa.
I've got to ask one more. And this is, I promise you, the final question. Is there one person you would like to tailor for, but
Yes.
haven't?
Yes. This could be my plug. Maybe I'll ask the universe to bring him to me.
Don't worry, we'll at them in the social media publication. Don't worry, we'll get it out of there. Go on. So go on, who is it?
Idris Elba. He'd be so cool. Because he's got the family man vibe. He's multifaceted, you know, does so many stuff. And I always remember him saying about, like, just keep moving forward. If you're doing laps in the swimming pool, you're not constantly looking at how many laps you've done or what the time is. You just keep going. I like that. And he's just a cool dude.
He's a living, he's a legend. He's genuinely a legend.
I think men relate to him. They're like, that's a cool dude. Like, that guy everyone kind of wants to be. Otherwise, Stanley Tucci, a lot of guys like his style.
That's brilliant. Oh. Idris, Stanley, if you're listening to this, give
Yeah.
Alex a call. Genuinely, she's amazing. If they come, let's have a chat about. Have a good look at
Commission.
me as well. I'll have a look at me. Oh, hey, no, don't look at me. Commission. I like the sound of commission.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Me.
No, we need to sort your wardrobe out more. We need
Oh,
white people.
ouch. That was a mic drop burn moment.
Shit. Branded pendant.
Alex, that has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you
Thank
so much. I'm
you.
sure all the guys out there, all the men out there are going to really benefit this. Get the book for Christmas. Get the book or pre-order the book at Christmas.
Yeah.
Listen to the podcast, loads of interesting people, and just go and read the website. I mean, Alex's backstory genuinely is fascinating. They published it a couple of times on the website. Strongly recommend it. Genuinely inspirational. But guys, dress the part. Just dress the part and be you. Alex, absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much.